Thursday is St. Patrick's Day. Meanwhile, Kentucky's House of Representatives has named March Irish American Heritage Month in the Commonwealth. On this week's Eastern Standard, we'll talk about Irish heritage and history in Kentucky, and we're interested in your questions, comments, and personal stories. Send them now by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or call 859-622-1657, or call in when you tune in for Eastern Standard Thursday morning at 11 on WEKU. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. I'm John Hingsbergen. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Many of you may be heading to your local pub to celebrate or to other activities on this day, which I understand is actually a religious holiday in Ireland. But before we get off to celebrating St. Patrick's Day, on this week's program, we want to talk about Irish heritage in the Bluegrass State. We've brought in guests to talk about Kentucky's Irish roots, or at least their own roots, and tell stories of Irish heritage. And we'd like to hear from you this morning. Our program is always a listener interactive program. We always encourage listeners to write to us by email, to send us tweets, to interact on the Facebook page or the WEKU website, and or call on the phone, 800-621-8890. And we're especially going to encourage listeners to be a major part of this week's program with your questions and, maybe better yet, your stories of your Irish heritage and how being Irish or having an Irish heritage makes you maybe more or a better Kentuckian. 800-621-8890, that email address, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST and go to the Facebook page, go to the website, and be a part of our program in that way. We have with us one live guest who is going to be with us throughout the hour of the program, and that guest is Aidan Connolly, Chief Innovation Officer at Alltech Incorporated. Aidan is a nephew of Alltech's founder, Pierce Lyons, an Irish national. And Aidan, are you likewise an Irish national?
Oh, yes, very much so.
All right, tell us more about yourself, Aidan. I know you're not able to be with us in the studio this morning. We're grateful that you've managed to make time to be with us. You're traveling on this St. Patrick's Day. I hope getting an opportunity to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I'm actually in St. Paul in Minnesota, which is a very Irish town as well, and I'm seeing people on the streets walking around wearing green. And some bars starting to open up for business. So, it's not quite the same as being in Ireland, but close enough.
Well, we hope you can hold out for another 52 minutes. Thank you for being with us. Let's talk about, as a native of Ireland, so actually still an Irish national, not a citizen of the U.S.?
And not just yet, though I am married to an American, and we've been married for about 3 years. Got to remember that properly. So, but yes, very much an Irish national. I go back to Ireland quite frequently. My mom, my dad, my sisters all live there. So, and very proud to be Irish.
We're grateful to be able to come to the source, as it were, to talk to a real Irishman on this St. Patrick's Day. As we encourage our listeners to be part of the program. We have a couple of other folks we'll talk to during the course of the program as well. But why don't we just kick it off? I mean, tell us a little bit about Alltech. I know its roots obviously are in Ireland and through your uncle, Pierce Lyons. How did it end up, this little bit of Ireland end up in Kentucky?
Yes, my uncle emigrated to the United States around about 1978, 79, and moved to Kentucky first. So when he decided to set up his own company, naturally enough, he decided to stay in the Bluegrass and to do so. The company has gone through different phases. It is very well known in the area of nutrition of animals. We make natural supplements for animals, and natural, of course, is a tremendously hot area at the moment. That lifted the company to about almost $1 billion turnover 2 years ago, and with acquisitions, the turnover of the company is now $2.2 billion. So it probably, certainly one of the largest organizations in Kentucky and extremely well known in the Lexington area, which we call our home. We do have a very big big investment in an algae factory for the production of algae in Winchester. And we have another facility in Springfield. So, in fact, with some of the acquisitions that we've made, we own facilities throughout Kentucky. So it's a company which has a very strong Kentucky base, but of course, at its heart, it's an Irish company. My uncle, when he came here, continued to participate a lot in the local events, including the parades. It's interesting to me. Today, we're at a meeting with people from different backgrounds in terms of agriculture. Yet last night, we had Irish dancers performing. So some of the dads were saying, "I don't understand it. What's the connection between agriculture and Ireland?" And we had to explain that the company had been founded by an Irishman.
And I guess agriculture is a part of Ireland's culture as well. But what makes this company that based in Ireland feel so comfortable in this part of Kentucky? Is there something about Kentucky, something about this region of Kentucky that feels like home?
Well, anybody who's from Ireland who moves to Kentucky certainly recognizes the rolling hills and recognizes the culture of the people, the commitment to, you know, singing and music. The bourbon obviously has a lot of connections with the whiskey tradition in Ireland. And just in general, you feel very much at home when you're with Kentuckians. So I think there is very close parallels between the two areas. And I think Kentuckians who go to Ireland feel the same way.
Aidan Connolly is a Chief Innovation Officer at Alltech, a nephew of Alltech's founder. And a genuine Irishman on this week's Eastern Standard here with us, the program live on St. Patrick's Day. We're encouraging listeners to be part of the program. We're going to ask listeners to either ask your questions about Ireland or St. Patrick's Day or tell your stories about your Irish heritage. We understand that Irish heritage, Irish blood is very much a part of Kentucky from the very beginning. Somewhere, I'm not sure if I have that research information in front of me here, someone made a comment that the first white man to step into Kentucky historically was an Irishman. Do you know anything about that, Aidan Connolly?
It was not me, so
Well,
certainly there were a lot of Irish when I got here, that's for sure. No, I don't know.
And we might want to share a little bit of Irish trivia if our listeners have some trivia you'd like to share with us or something about your own personal family story, your community, and its roots and its connections to Ireland. You're welcome to be part of the show with that kind of information at 800-621-8890. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Aidan Connolly, how has Alltech used its global expansion to further Irish culture? Obviously, one element is, for instance, this past weekend's St. Patrick's Day parade. That's an annual event in Lexington. But are there other ways in which Alltech has spread the word about the good things about Ireland?
Very much so. We obviously employ a fair number of Irish people within the organization, just as we employ a lot of Kentuckians throughout the organization, and they, of course, retain that sense of Ireland. I know last night the son of Dr. Lines, the founder of Alltech, Mark Lines, is based in China, and he held a reception at the Irish Embassy with the Irish ambassador in Beijing, and Dr. Pierce Lines was there as well. So that sort of access and those connections are tremendous. Naturally enough, we always say, and I had an opportunity to speak to the Kentucky Senate, and I said to a joint committee, actually, I said to them that you should consider Alltech to be the embassy of Kentucky overseas, because we're in 129 countries now. We have our own offices in over 100 of those, and we, in those offices, when you walk through the door, you see Kentucky front and center. So it's very interesting hybrid of, you know, an organization, a company that that still is very true to its Irish roots, but also is very representing, very representative of Kentucky.
This is St. Patrick's Day, and in the next segment of the program, Aidan Connolly, we're going to speak with a couple of guests that we talked to earlier prior to today's program. But I'm interested in knowing how you traditionally celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and how what you experience in Kentucky and elsewhere in the U.S. Reflects a genuine, authentic celebration of St. Patrick's Day. Is what we see in the pubs here in Kentucky a realistic expression of the real St. Patrick's Day?
I think you mentioned it earlier. Traditionally, St. Patrick's Day in Ireland was much more of a religious day. It was a day, obviously, when you went to church, and it would be a family day. Somewhere, I believe, not quite 100 years ago, Americans, these would be Irish who were living in the U.S. and were going back to Ireland to experience the parade, and much to their shock, discovered there was no parade. So they said, what do you mean there's no parade? There's a parade in every city in America celebrating St. Patrick's Day. So the Irish, after the fact, realized that we needed a parade and created our own parade in Dublin, which now has people from all over the world coming in. And the parade is a tremendous event. And in fact, most of the towns and villages throughout the country now have their own parades as well.
Influenced and inspired by American St. Patrick's Day parades.
In many ways. Now, not quite through to the green beer or the green rivers. we don't quite have that yet, but certainly the pub tradition has become stronger over the years, but it would not have been as big a part of St. Patrick's Day celebrations initially, certainly nothing like you see here in the U.S.
So how would you have celebrated St. Patrick's Day? Were you in Ireland today?
Traditionally would have been with my family, my parents. We would have eaten some traditional Irish foods. Ireland is not necessarily known for its cuisine, but nonetheless, we would have eaten cabbage, and we would have eaten, obviously, corned beef and potatoes, and then some other special foods. But in general, the day would have been constructed around going to the parade and coming back and having dinner with the family and church in the morning. Here, because of business, I tend to travel a lot more. But still, if I was in Lexington, I'd certainly go and get some Irish breakfast there at the Irish store, which is a great way to make sure that you can have the bacon and sausages and the good food from home that we like to have, and have a fry in the morning. And again, I quite like going to church on St. Patrick's Day.
We're interested in hearing from our listeners about how you're observing St. Patrick's Day or how you've done so in the past. Eastern Standard is the name of our program. Aidan Connolly is with us live on the line in St. Paul, Minnesota this morning. Not able to be with us in the Lexington area, but able to join us by telephone. We're going to speak with a couple of other guests in a few moments. Aidan is going to stay on the line with us, and we're interested in hearing from you with your stories, your questions, your comments about the significance of St. Patrick's Day and the celebration of Irish culture and heritage. 800-621-8890. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. Post on the Facebook page or visit the WEKU website at weku.fm. That phone number once again, 800-621-8890. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Thank you for being part of this week's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations on St. Patrick's Day, our live broadcast on this Thursday morning. We're talking about Irish culture, Irish heritage in Kentucky, and we're interested in interacting with our listeners at 800-621-8890. We have with us live on the line Aidan Connolly, who is the Chief Innovation Officer at Alltech, an Irish national. And we're also speaking with a number of other people. Earlier this week, I spoke with a friend of WEKU, and apparently I think of Aidan Connolly as well, Rory Harris, Rory is technically British, but describes himself as a plastic Paddy, someone who aspires to be Irish, has Irish parents, or otherwise associates himself with Ireland. Rory came to this area in 1990, working for a major British company, fell in love with the Lexington area, and he is today on St. Patrick's Day, not actually available to be with us live in the studio or even on the telephone line. But I spoke with him about his history, his background, and the Irish influence on this area of Kentucky. Rory Harris.
Well, I think, you know, companies like Alltech with Pierce Lyons, who's, you know, absolutely a full-blooded Irishman, has done a lot for Lexington. Similarly, you know, the horse farms and other places. I mean, Fulcher, the Irish shop downtown, Lisa Henley there, has promoted Ireland for many, many years with both food, and I think she still organizes trips over there. And even here in rural Jessamine County, we're doing our bit with the Dixie Cafe, where they offer a whole range of Irish foods. And in fact, there I cooked an Irish breakfast for friends on Saturday morning before the parade and went down to the Dixie Cafe and got Irish white pudding, black pudding, bacon, and bangers. And cooked all that up.
What are bangers?
Sausages. Actually, probably that would possibly is an English expression. Actually, the better known of the Irish expressions would be rashers for bacon, and the bacon is delicious. I mean, it's hard to describe because it doesn't. It's a lot meatier than American bacon, closer, I think, perhaps in appearance to Canadian bacon, but more, you know, cut off the loin. But it, you know, certainly some of those things might be a bit of an acquired taste, judging by the responses I've had from some of my American friends who either love it or hate it. But white pudding is quite similar to the Cincinnati food of Geta. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Oh, yeah. I can confirm that.
Yeah. But that's very good. But, you know, other than that, I mean, there are quite a number of Irish doctors, Irish veterinary surgeons. I know Tom Tobin. There are other academics at the university. And there are a raft of people in the horse industry, you know, from some of the very large farms to some of the smaller farms. And indeed, when I, you know, I'm around and about sometimes in Jessamine County. I'll bump into a couple of the guys that are working on the farms and all from Ireland.
We have the horse industry, and of course we have a tremendous amount of influence by the bourbon, the distilling industry in this part of Kentucky, or actually pretty widely, I guess, across the Commonwealth. Is that part of the heritage, is that does that have roots that trace back to Ireland as well?
Well, I think Ireland's renowned for its propensity for drinking. so bourbon is a different taste to, you know, to Irish whiskey. But I think I don't know that bourbon is terribly popular in Ireland. You know, if you go into the pubs there, the predominantly people will drink beer. But they might have a small drop of Irish whiskey as well on the side.
What do we here in Kentucky not know about Ireland that we should know? Or what do we know that is incorrect, that may be a stereotype incorrect information?
That's a hard one. I mean, I think people have a lot of perception about Ireland. I mean, and many of them, actually, when they get to Ireland, are very happy to see that their perception is something of a reality. I mean, I think I'm proudest to, you know, I'm proud of having an Irish heritage, and I love the history of the island. I mean, it's an astonishing history. Some of it a bit troubled, but it is. Fantastic cultural experience. The scenery, you know, is just astonishing. I'm actually going to San Francisco in a month or two, And I've driven along Big Sur many times and think it's quite nice. But compared with the southwest coast of Ireland, it pales into insignificance. And it doesn't have the little country pubs that that you find in these little fishing villages that dot the coastline. So there's an enormous amount of very pretty scenery. It ranges from the flatlands in the center to the mountains up in Donegal, a glorious coastline, some great food, and not just the old traditional sort of stodgy potatoes, some fabulous food, particularly seafood along the coast. And then in the cities like Dublin and Galway, there are bars with just an amazing amount of live music of every kind, but not just the traditional Irish stuff. There's a very big artistic community in terms of theatre. There's several big theatres in Dublin with a variety of plays from Irish writers through everybody else. And indeed, when I get back from Vietnam, one of the things I'm going to go and see at the Lexington Opera House is the stage play, the traveling show of Once, which was a movie featuring Glenn Hansard and Markita Iglova, which is, I'm really looking forward to that. That is a display of an Irish play set in Dublin, and will be great.
Well, Rory Harris, when the average Kentuckian wanders into an Irish pub, either by accident or by intention on this St. Patrick's Day, and observe a celebration underway, perhaps some music and some decorations and some shamrocks and some beer that has been tinted with some green food coloring, how will that resemble, how much does it resemble an actual celebration of St. Patrick's Day in Ireland?
It's not very different. I mean, you go into a pub, there'll be some live music, there'll be some decorations, there'll be people, you know, with ginger hair or made up for the date with ginger hair, and a lot of the wearing of the green. There'll be a few of the older generation may even be wearing a small bunch of shamrock pinned to the, you know, to their shirt or jacket. But, you know, the cries of, you know, sláinte, as people say cheers in Irish as they clink a couple of pints of Guinness, I don't think it's very much different from, you know, McCarthy's here or Liner's or any of them in a, you know, a pub in the center of Dublin, Kehoe's or, you know, one of those guys down there.
Rory Harris, admittedly a plastic patty on this St. Patrick's Day. Can I ask you to conclude our conversation with an Irish greeting or a blessing or a statement something you'd like, some words you'd like to leave us with?
Well, my Irish pronunciation is so poor that I think I just embarrassed myself. But the expression that everybody loves in Ireland, when you know that. I would hope that everybody has some great crack on Paddy's Day, and crack is spelt C-R-A-I-C, and it just refers to things being great and good. So I wish everybody, you know, a happy Paddy's Day and have some great crack.
Wishing us some great crack as just in time, his phone dying there with the beeps. But Rory Harris, a plastic patty on the line with us on this St. Patrick's Day. We do have with us for today's Eastern Standard, Aidan Connolly, Chief Innovation Officer at Alltech. He's still live on the line with us, and we'll be getting back to him in just a few moments. But I do want to take a few minutes now to talk with Bill Enright. Bill is president of the Bluegrass Irish Society and chairman of the Alltech Lexington St. Patrick's Day Parade and Festival in the city for the last 37 years. Bill's parents came over from Ireland. The family lived in Chicago. He came to Kentucky to work for IBM and settled in this area. And in this recorded interview, Bill talks about how Kentucky is a comfortable place for Irish culture.
Well, there's a great deal of Kentucky culture, which I really love, that I think I can trace back. For example, some of the music, if you go out into eastern Kentucky, and you listen to some of the fiddlers out there and some of the people with the concertinas and so on playing music, I can hear my uncle playing. I've got an uncle that has his music is in the Smithsonian. He was from County Kerry as well, and they went looking for cultural musicians around the country, and everywhere they went, talking about the Irish culture, they go to Philly and New York and so on, had said, have you gone to Chicago and talked to Cuz T? So they finally went, and his music is there. Well, I can hear his music when I go out to Eastern Kentucky, the old time. Clogging. Have you ever seen an Irish hard shoe dancers? It doesn't take much of a stretch of the imagination to see where clogging came from. And it's in the music, the reels and the ballads and so on. You can listen closely. You can hear the Irish musical influences, and the Scots as well.
Why is St. Patrick's Day important to the Irish?
Well, it's their cultural and religious background. It's patriotism. It's religious. It's cultural. It's to celebrate their music and their art. The Irish were, I guess the best word to use, is subjugated by the English for centuries. And when they finally broke through, they wanted to celebrate their Irishness. It was restricted for many, many years. For example, my parents were not allowed to speak Irish. It was prohibited. Their schools were abysmal. The Irish were not allowed to be educated. They were not allowed to speak Irish, and so on. And it ended up finally in a revolution. St. Patrick's Day is a celebration of the Irish culture, the Irish nation, and the Irish spirit.
St. Patrick was what, a bishop in the Roman Catholic Church? What do you know about St. Patrick that you can tell us?
Oh, there's all kinds of tradition. You know, everybody loves to say, "Well, here's an Englishman," or "Here's an Italian," or "Is it?" By the time he got to Ireland, he was an Irishman. He came back to Ireland. He was in Ireland as a slave for a while, and found his way out, became a priest and a bishop, and came back to convert the heathen Celts. And he did so, and the tradition is that Patrick converted the heathen Celts to Christianity. And that's, as an aside, that's why the shamrock is an important symbol to the Irish people, and that's why they wear shamrocks on St. Patrick's Day. When we were growing up, we would always get a package from home, and we'd all get, it was a little package of shamrocks that they picked and send it to us wrapped up in moss, and we'd all get a little bunch of it and pinned to our collars for the day to remind us of St. Patrick, the fact that it was a religious holiday celebrating the conversion to Christianity, as well as a civic holiday remembering our Irishness. And the reason that became a symbol was the tradition had it that Patrick was having a difficult time trying to explain the principle, the theory of the three persons in one God, the Trinity, and they just couldn't understand how you could have three people in one. So he plucked a clover out of the ground and showed him a plant with three leaves on it, and he said, as this plant has three leaves, but it's one plant, the Trinity is three persons and one God and so on. So that's the reason for the shamrock being a symbol of Irishness.
And what's this all about? What's the legend of Patrick driving snakes out of Ireland? What's that all about?
Oh, that's another good one. Hey, we're full of legends. there weren't any. So they said, "Now, well, why not?" Well, Patrick got credit for it. Well, I think if we've been, and so I'm happy with Patrick getting credit for driving the snakes out, but I think if you talk to some geologists, you might find that there were some separations of land masses that occurred back during a certain time, and the separations then were flooded, and those portions that were remaining out in the oceans were islands, and there was no way of certain animals and things going to that, and when the landmass broke, there were no snakes, and they never were back. But I prefer to think, Patrick's drove them out.
So how will you be observing St. Patrick's Day this year?
The Irish Catholic way. Take a look at church and mass, and I will have my wife and I will go out and have a few, have a nice meal, and visit a few pubs and listen to some nice music from friends of ours playing all around town, and make sure I pay a visit to McCarty's Irish Bar downtown, and then go out for a nice dinner and enjoy it. Enjoy the day.
Well, Bill, is there a saying, perhaps in Gaelic or Irish language or in English, whatever, or a blessing or a greeting that you would like to leave us with on this St. Patrick's Day as your greeting for our listeners?
Sure. It's the greeting that we have in our club and everything that we do. It'd be Cad Mita Falsha. That's an Irish for 100,000 welcomes, and wherever we would go, we'd welcome people in with the idea of Cad Mita Falsha.
Bill Enright, president of the Bluegrass Irish Society, chairman of the Alltech Lexington St. Patrick's Day Parade and Festival in Lexington for the last 37 years as well. Thank you, Bill, for being with us in that pre-recorded interview. Live on this week's Eastern Standard on this Thursday is Aidan Connolly. You're still on the line there, Aidan?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back to Aidan in about 2 minutes here as we ask our listeners to interact with Aidan with your questions, your comments, your stories about Irish culture, St. Patrick's Day, the Irish influence on Kentucky, or vice versa, Kentucky's influence on Ireland and Irish culture. 800-621-8890, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com is our email address. You can send a tweet at WEKUEST. We do have an email from John Finney. We'll read John's email here in just a few moments. We had a caller on the line a few moments ago. She gave up on us because we kept her waiting so long, but we will get back to the phones at 800-621-8890. We're very interested in hearing from you today. Kind of a little different program. We frequently talk about those issues in the news, politics, and so forth. But gosh, St. Patrick's Day, what better day to take a break from all of that and just focus on something that's, of course, serious, but also a little bit more fun. 800-621-8890, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. It's St. Patrick's Day, at least this Thursday. Our program live on Thursday morning. Of course, the program repeats on Sunday evenings on the WEKU stations. But we're talking Ireland and things Irish, Irish culture on this St. Patrick's Day. I'm John Hingsbergen. And with us on the line live is Aidan Connolly, Chief Innovation Officer at Alltech and the nephew of Alltech's founder, Piers Lyons. Aidan, like his uncle, is an Irish national. And he joins us by telephone from St. Paul, Minnesota today, unable to be with us in Lexington, but still celebrating St. Patrick's Day, we understand, Aidan.
Absolutely. We've had a really fun time here in St. Paul, and last night we had, as I mentioned, Irish dancers giving a tremendous performance of how Irish dancing was and how Irish dancing is. They used some of the river dance moves at the end, which are more modern, and of course river dance will be part of Alltech Symposium in May in Lexington.
And all of that we've seen on public TV and other presentations and so forth, the river dance, the clogging, some of these very, spirited performances. Is that all genuine and authentic Irish stuff as well?
Yeah. The traditional Irish dancing, of course, involved not moving your arms. So you were allowed to move them under very certain circumstances, but for the most part, all of the movement was below the waist, and it was a big part of the ceilidhs that I would have grown up with, which is a type of dance that was organized in towns and villages and even in cities around Ireland. When river dance came along, it revolutionized the way that Irish dancing was performed by using non-traditional music and also moving their arms, which when you saw for the first time, I don't know why we all got shocked, but saying, oh, hang on a second, you're not allowed to do that. So that was certainly a big innovation for Ireland. And, of course, that was part of a TV show that was shown to millions of Europeans when it was shown for the first time. Then it became a worldwide show. And split into various versions of it, including Lord of the Dance, etc. And the Riverdance people will be coming to Lexington in May. Alltech has a big meeting with 5,000 people downtown Lexington, and Riverdance will be the closing act.
Oh, my goodness. Is that open to the public?
It is for those who sign up for it. So, yeah, you can go onto the Alltech website and sign up for the program. It's called the One, just O-N-E, so the One Conference. And, in fact, Alan Mullally, another good Irish-American who is the man who's got the reputation for turning around the Ford Motor Company, he will be speaking, and Steve Wozniak of Apple. So we've got a very high-powered lineup with Riverdance and those two of the gentlemen.
Oh, my goodness. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations, 800-621-8890. You're welcome to be part of the show. Write to us by email, weku.eastern.standard@gmail.com. And before we interact with our listeners, Aidan Connolly of Alltech, I understand you may know both of those gentlemen. We just heard from a little bit ago, Rory Harris and Bill Enright. Any comments, any reactions to anything you heard either of them say? Anything you want to clarify or elaborate on a little bit?
No, obviously they're very, I mean, the nice thing about, and I'm sure you have the same experience in Kentucky, when you see it through somebody else's eyes, sometimes they've got even more passion and more enjoyment out of it. I think Rory's description of the West of Ireland is very appropriate. When you're there, it's like being in another planet. It just has a landscape that when I visit on my own, I appreciate, but when I visited with people from the United States, from France, from Germany, from the UK, you see it through their eyes and you realize just how amazing it is. And I think the Rory's passion for all things Irish is really comes through, as you can hear. And obviously the same in terms of the commitment of the Irish-American organizations in Kentucky. They really do also really embody the best of what is Irish.
Let's talk to one of our listeners. Don from Lexington is on the line. Don, thank you so much for calling. You are on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm longing to go to Ireland and to see the scenic places, to even watch Irish dancers, and hopefully I'll get downtown to see it. I mean, I am Scotch-Irish, and so a lot of this is a personal identity. On the other hand, I just wanted to say I recently went to the Grandparents Raising Grandchildren Conference, and the speaker, who was fantastic, spoke of secondhand drinking like secondhand smoking, which we don't understand and realize. And I really am impressed with Alltech and the success of bourbon in this area. But I am concerned about what we don't understand about ourselves and Irish promotion of drinking. I am so sorry. It's so easy to be happy about it and feel good about it, but the results are worse than we really ever imagined.
So some concerns about the societal consequences of some things that obviously started out merely cultural elements and things that we can enjoy.
Yes.
Thank you so much for those comments, Don. We're going to ask Aidan to react a little bit to that, and maybe other listeners will do so as well. Thank you, Don, for calling. Aidan, what do you think about what Don had to say?
Yeah, I think his concerns are very appropriate. Drinking is something which is wonderful when done in moderation, and the association of St. Patrick's Day with getting drunk in certain cities in the U.S. is something I just had not come across before. It's not to say, obviously, that Irish people don't drink and don't have a reputation for drinking a lot, but I would have seen St. Patrick's Day as more of a religious thing and more of a family thing, and I would share his concerns. I think we don't fully understand what happens when we drink too much, the damage it does to our body, and potentially the damage it does to our kids who come along afterwards, who inherit, of course, the genes that we give them. So I would be very feel we have to be respectful of alcohol. We have to understand the limitations and the damage it can do, and just be very careful with it. Alltech, as he rightly says, has a very strong presence in terms of the production of our bourbon and whiskeys and beers in Lexington, the Kentucky Ales, Town Branch, etc. But absolutely, we are very committed to preaching the need for being cautious around alcohol.
On this St. Patrick's Day, we're talking about all things Irish and specifically the connections between Ireland and Irish culture and Kentucky. 800-621-8890. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Martin called in from Lexington, but apparently was going through a tunnel and couldn't stay on. But Martin commented about how he had always heard that St. Patrick driving out the snakes was representative of driving out paganism. Also wants to wish a thousand thanks and blessings to those in Kentucky and Lexington this St. Patrick's Day. Says he'll be having his green beer later today. And Aidan, am I correct again? Green beer is not inherent to Irish culture in the homeland.
Definitely not.
Do they do it now again because of the popularity elsewhere in the world?
Not to the same degree. I still haven't encountered a green beer in Dublin. I'm sure I could find one if I went looking, but still haven't seen one in being served. Plenty of Guinness, even some Kentucky ale being exported to Ireland, as you're probably aware. Certainly the bourbon barrel ale has been exported and has been very, very, very popular in the pubs in Dublin, but not so much the green version.
The cultural exchange going the other direction as well as coming here. Here is an email from, as I said, John Finney. John wrote here in Lexington, Irish heritage hasn't always been well regarded. Lexington's Irish town neighborhood was located in the bottoms alongside African-American neighborhoods where both groups were relegated to less than desirable land, where drainage was poor and mosquitoes carried disease. An old Irish cemetery on East 3rd Street was forgotten for decades and overgrown with weeds until it was rediscovered during the tenure of a mayor of Irish heritage. Could you comment on how people of Irish descent and their culture were once marginalized in Kentucky? John, thank you for that. I don't know, Aidan, we didn't invite you to come on and talk about, you know, obviously these heavy issues in politics and so forth, but do you have a comment about how the Irish have been treated and at one time marginalized?
It undoubtedly it is part of our history, and even if you go back through some of the publications of the English newspapers from the 1800s, you see depictions of Irish people obviously portraying them as some sort of subspecies. So it's kind of amazing when you see the Celtic Tiger, the growth of Ireland from an economic point of view, its leadership today in terms of information technology, medical devices, big data, drones, etc., pharmaceuticals. You just can't imagine that was the attitude at that time. But that was something that came along with the attitudes that existed in the United Kingdom at that stage. But Irish people came to America in very large numbers. As we know, approximately 45 million people in the U.S. Attribute their heritage to being Irish. And I think it has a very, very favorable perception in this country. But more importantly, the United States was seen as being a land of opportunity for Irish people to escape those sorts of attitudes. And I think clearly whatever existed 150 years ago, it's no longer the case. If anything, being Irish is extremely positive and opens lots of doors.
We talk about a lot of the talk about Ireland and Irish culture and St. Patrick's Day relates to Roman Catholics. And I know many of us remember not so many years ago a lot of conflict in Ireland between Irish Catholics and Protestants. And, of course, the Ireland and its, shall we say, is a kind of a rocky relationship with the U.K., with the United Kingdom. Where does all of that stand today? Are the Catholics and the Protestants getting along in Ireland today? And has all that settled down and for everyone's benefit?
My perception would be that I don't think the issue is ever between Catholics and Protestants, because people of faith, people who are Christians, obviously don't believe in conflict with other groups. And I think that it was used as an easy way to describe two groups of people, one who believed in, they described themselves as unionists. They believed that Ireland, and particularly Northern Ireland, should have remained part of the United Kingdom. and nationalists who believed that Ireland should be independent, and that not just including the South Republic of Ireland, but also Northern Ireland. And the populations are relatively similar in percentages. I think today it's 52% unionist and 48% nationalist. So from that perspective, there was obviously the opportunity for conflict. There was some gerrymandering of the voting districts to make sure that the voting proportions were more in favor of the unionists. But over a period of time, all of those things have been addressed. And thanks be to God, there was a cessation of the actions of the IRA, who were fighting and blowing up bombs to try to destabilize the situation for the British. That has changed, and we've had peace now for almost 15 years. I think if that continues for another 10 or 15, we're going to see a whole generation of people for whom they will never have known that sort of conflict and will not understand it and certainly will not want to go back to it. So a lot of investment has poured into Northern Ireland. The relationship between Northern Ireland and the South of Ireland has never been better. Many of the sporting teams now are representing Ireland on the world stage. They represent with people from both sides. You know, Rory McIlroy, who's from Northern Ireland, a great golfer, for example, will probably represent the Irish team in the Olympics. The rugby team is also merged with players from both sides. So it's starting to become harder to remember those things happened, and that has to be a good thing.
This is Eastern Standard. We still have a few minutes remaining, and you're welcome to be part of the program still at 800-621-8890. Story about Irish culture, how your Irish heritage has made you a better Kentuckian, would be something that we could toss out there. If you have a comment, a story you'd like to tell about your connections to Ireland on this St. Patrick's Day, on the line with us, Aidan Connolly, Chief Innovation Officer of Alltech. Himself an Irish national, so we went right to the source for today's program, and we're still glad to hear from you if you'd like to join in at 800-621-8890. So, Aidan, in the few minutes that we have remaining in today's program, how is Kentucky, in your perception, a better place because of Ireland and the Irish influence here?
In all aspects, I would imagine. we've already heard, for example, from Bill about the importance of the connections with music and dancing. Heard of the connections with bourbon. We've heard of the connections in terms of the horse industry. I think Rory also mentioned some of the same. Lots of the things that if I go abroad, people say, "Wow, how do you describe Kentucky?" And the things I use to describe Kentucky are the same things that, in essence or in history, would have been connected with the immigrants that came. And I think it's really interesting to also mention that a lot of the association St. Patrick's Day, of course, is with the Southern Irish, but Kentucky was settled by a lot of Scots Irish, and they have a very strong traditions as well, which we can see a lot in common. I mean, both groups have a lot in common, but they're nonetheless, they also have some differences. And Kentucky has had the influx of both of those sets of immigrants, both of those cultures. But I think when I think of Kentucky culture and I think of Irish culture, the best things of both are definitely in common.
And your recommendations for Americans who want to experience Irish culture. Obviously, there are plenty of pubs around, especially on the St. Patrick's Day, perhaps more visible than at other times during the year. But where would you recommend the average Kentuckian or the average American interested in Irish culture? Where should we go to learn more about your homeland?
Well,
besides going to your homeland, I guess.
Besides, I was going to say there can be nothing better than going to Ireland, and certainly, the old Irish phrase is Boston and Erin, meaning I hope to die in Ireland. So maybe a little morbid, but that's our wish for any Irish person, is that they get the chance to go to Ireland before they die. I think that aside from that, the Tourist Board Fáilte, BORD, FAILTE, has a tremendous website, and that would give you a real sense of what's there in Ireland. There are lots of ways of tracing your ancestors. Because of the churches in Ireland, they did a tremendous job of keeping records, and it's not generally difficult to trace back where your ancestors came from. So that can be quite exciting. It's also clear that if you have the opportunity to go around Lexington or Louisville or even Cincinnati, you'll just see a lot of Irish events going on, and those are certainly should be part of it. Alltech, in its own small way, continues to try to bring, as I've mentioned, Ireland to Kentucky and Kentucky to the rest of the world. So keep an eye on our website for upcoming events as well. But there just are so many ways. Kentucky is a wonderful place from that perspective. There's so many ways to connect with Ireland, not just on St. Patrick's Day, but during the year.
Aidan Connolly, how about a greeting? What would you leave us with in terms of a saying or a greeting on the St. Patrick's Day?
Well, maybe a slightly more religious one, but Bannacht Law Fail of Padraig Agoth, which means happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you.
Aidan Connolly, Chief Innovation Officer at Alltech, thank you so much. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Thank you for spending part of it with us on WEKU. We've also heard today from Rory Harris and Bill Enright. We want to thank our producers for today's program, Logan Riley, or shall we say Logan O'Reilly, Noah O'Day, part of today's program. Marissa Hempel has been part of our production team and is joining us as well. And we'll call her Marissa O'Hempel as we wrap up today's program. I'm John O. Hingsbergen. Thank you for being with us for this week's Eastern Standard, a production of the WEKU stations. Our program will be available as a podcast later on Thursday and repeated on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We're always interested in hearing from you. WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Thank you for tuning in.